Though the shepherds were the first to worship Jesus that night in the stable, his birth did not go unnoticed by everyone else. In a distant land, wealthy, educated men saw the star that announced his coming and recognized the sign. Something incredible had taken place. It became their mission to find him, to offer him treasure, and to worship at his feet.
Thank you. Over the summer, my family and I got to go and check out the Renaissance Fair down in Bristol. That's on the border of Wisconsin and Illinois. On your way down south of Milwaukee, north of Chicago. I tell you what, I know a lot of people talk about going to the state fair as a popular place to do some people watching, but I tell you what, the Renaissance Fair, there are some very uniquely costumed individuals at this place. It's a lot of interesting people that you see down there. When we were there, one of the big events that we wanted to make sure that we saw was the jousting competition. We went to the midday jousting tournament. So everybody's sitting on the grass or in rickety stands, around the arena. And when it's time for them to start, there's a guy, he's wearing all black, he's on a black horse, he comes darting into the arena. This fellow is the announcer. It's his job for the next 5 minutes or so, it's his job to build up the crowd, to get people pumped up, to get them excited for the show. Today we're going to continue talking about a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist. In a way, John the Baptist is like the announcer of the Jesus story. He comes in wearing some weird clothes. He's out in the desert preaching repentance and baptism. His job is to build up the crowd, to prepare their hearts. And not for the big show, but for the big man that's coming. John's role is to testify and witness the coming of Christ. That's his job. We're going to read about him and about Jesus in our scripture for today. Let us pray, and then we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. John chapter 1, 6 to 14. If you'd like to pull out a pew Bible, you can grab one of those and turn to John chapter 1. We also will have it up on the PowerPoint too. So let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the good book that you have given us, Lord. We know that it is infallible and inspired, and we know that it's truly your word. Lord, you spoke to the prophets, you spoke to the apostles, you spoke to all of the writers of this good book so that they truly wrote down your word for us. Lord, we ask for help. Send us your Holy Spirit too, that your word not only makes sense to us, but sinks deep into our hearts. We ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. So John the Baptist, he has a purpose. He has an important role to play. John the Baptist is to be a witness, announcing Christ, the Messiah, is coming. And his goal was that all men might believe. So he was out in the desert preaching to everybody that would listen. He's preaching about the light. He tells the people that he is not the light. He is just the announcer. He's announcing the coming of the great light. He is paving the way for the people out in the desert. He is preparing their hearts so that they are ready for the true light that's going to come, to be ready for Jesus. Now, I'm going to take you back to the Renaissance Fair. So while the announcer is trying to build up the crowd, there are people walking around with different colored flags. I'm trying to remember back some of, you know, there was maybe a red flag, a green flag, a blue flag, and a white flag. They were selling these for $5. And you could kind of pick out which color of flag that you want. And each one of the knights that was going to come and participate in the tournament was wearing one of these colors. So you could buy a red flag and you could cheer for the red knight. And the green and the blue and the white, so on and so forth. But there was no flag for the announcer. He was wearing all black. There's no black flag. The announcer is just there to prepare the way for the big show. There's no flag for the announcer. And in the same way, there is no flag for John the Baptist. But rather, John the Baptist is preparing the way so that we can all fly the Jesus flag. That was his job. That was his role. John, like I said, he is to testify and witness to the coming of Jesus, to the coming of the light. I talked about this several months ago, but there are two kingdoms at play, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And John is there so that people don't have to live in darkness anymore. He said, hey, you've been living in darkness, but now a great light is coming. The light of life is on the way. This is what Christmas is all about for us each and every year. It is our yearly reminder that the light of life has truly come into the world. It's what we celebrate at Christmas, Jesus' arrival. The Word that was made flesh, the God-man, he came. And he lived among us. The real deal Savior. That's what Christmas is about. I don't know if you've been doing any shopping on Amazon lately. Maybe you have, but if you have, I want to give you some warning. If you are looking for electronics, I would urge you to be careful. Even on Amazon, there are a lot of fakes out there. I have an Apple Watch, and you can buy an Apple Watch band, but you got to be careful. Many of the bands that are on there, they'll say that they are OEM. They are the real deal, but many of them are not. You got to be careful when it comes to electronics. You got to make sure that it's coming from the right source. So if I'm looking for an Apple Watch band, I want to make sure that it's Apple that's fulfilling my order, not some other made-up company. John the Baptist, he's coming and telling the people that there's no other substitute out there. And don't get faked out, because this, the light that's coming, this Jesus, he is the real deal. He is the real deal. He is the authentic light. How authentic is Jesus? How much of a real deal is he? Well, John lets us know. This Jesus that's coming, he is the light that lit up creation before the sun, the moon, and the stars were put in their place. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you'll see. The God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, where does that light come from? It's the light of God. The light of God. The creation was lit up before the sun, moon, and stars were put in their place. This is who Jesus is. He is the light of life. Or maybe you can go back to Exodus and look at the journey the Israelites took out of Egypt. And maybe you remember from those stories that God led those people, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This Jesus, this one that's coming, he is the true light. He is truly and genuinely God. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. But he is truly God. John the Baptist lets us know that he was in the world. The Word of God, the Son of God, was part of creation. The Son of God, the Word of God, is eternal. He was with God, and he is God. And the world was made through him. Have you ever thought about that? When you think about Jesus, do you think the world was made through him? The world was made through Jesus. And we can go to other parts of Scripture and find out that not only was the world made through Christ, but the world was made for Christ. So the world was made through Christ, and the world was made for Christ. But what are we talking about here? If the world is made through Christ and for Christ, why is that? It's so that his glory and his greatness is displayed to everyone. The world was made through Christ and for Christ so that the world would display his glory and his incredible greatness to everyone. So, let's put that into action. The beautiful sunsets are meant to point us to Christ. The grand mountains, again, were put in place to point us to Jesus. The lakes and the rivers, again, point us to Jesus. The forest, the same thing. Put in place by Christ for his glory, so that when we see it, we see him. All of it, everything, even you and me, all so that the world would know Jesus and his greatness, his glory. So, I think about some of the things in my life that thrill my soul. So, my wife's up driving the boat, not her favorite thing to do. She likes it when I drive the boat. She doesn't want to drive the boat, but I like to water ski. So my wife is up driving the boat. She puts it at about 28 miles an hour, and I'm standing behind there, and I'm water skiing, and the world is just flying by, and we are off. Glory to God in the highest, right? Or how about I'm on my motorcycle on a twisty back road. Of course, I'm obeying all the speed laws, right? I'm on the twisty back roads. I'm turning this way. I'm turning that way. I'm turning this way. I'm turning that way. In my helmet, I could yell out again, "Glory to God in the highest." Or how about those of you who enjoy fishing? Maybe pulling up a great big northern out of that ice fishing hole. All of the thrill that comes getting that big fish out of the hole. Again, you could yell out, "Glory to God in the highest." All of creation, everything was made through Christ and for Christ, so that his glory would be on display for all of us. But even though the world was made through him and for him, the world did not know him or his greatness. John tells us that he came to his own. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He was rejected. He was crucified, and he was buried. Because of the corruption of sin, people love darkness rather than light. The things that tear relationships apart, those things, we do those things. The things that hurt others, again, we do those things. The evil that makes us feel good, we do those things too. Humanity rejects Jesus, rejects his glory that's shown throughout all of creation. In fact, for many of us, we think that the world was created for us and for our glory, not for Christ's glory. And very often, we want to have things our way and believe that the world should revolve around us. Earlier this week, I had somebody stop in my office, and they were like, "Hey, Pastor Barry, in which personal struggle are you going to share with us this week?" And I tell you what, I don't want to disappoint. You all know that I'm messed up, that I am a sinner in need of a redeemer. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. That's what my faith is all about. I need Jesus. I'm a minister. I want to share that. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. He is the true light that gives life. That's why I'm up here. I want to share Jesus. And part of that is admitting that we need help. We need Jesus' help. And I've been a believer for a while now, but I still screw up. And it's important that you know that I'm a screw up, so that when you screw up, you know that there's redemption and there's hope in Christ. So, I was thinking about, how have I screwed up in the last couple of years? And I'll tell you one about my family. My parents will probably get a kick out of this one. So, it was movie time for our family. Movie time. And if you ask my folks who are here today, I was probably sharpest with my siblings during movie time because I have a particular picture in mind about movie time and how movie time should go. You shouldn't talk during movie time, right? We're watching a movie. Stop talking. If you can't stop talking, get out of the room. Like I said, I get a little sharper when it comes to movies. But this particular time, one of my kids started talking about this particular movie. They had seen it before and started to reveal some of the possible conclusions of the movie. I wasn't having any of it because when I revert away from Christ to my natural tendencies, my anger level can go from here to here just like that. And in this particular instance, I totally flipped out. Like, my kids are like, what just happened? Because I was flipping out, I was yelling. I was losing sight of Christ and His glory. And I was looking to glorify myself. And I reverted back to that natural tendency to think that the world revolves around me. They're like, "Dad, what are you doing? It's just a movie." And I'm like, "It's not just a movie. You're wrecking my day." We've all gotten like that, I'm sure. We put ourselves before Christ. We want our own glory rather than lifting up Jesus' glory. But it's not about my way, and it's not about your way. All of us were created through Christ and for Christ, so that we would see His glory, and so that we would bow down to Him. John talks about this. He says, "To all that receive Him, who believe in His name," all of those folks, He gave the right to be called children of God. So although we lived in darkness, when Jesus is our Savior, we are now living in the light. And with that light, we are children of God. Now, we know that we are far from perfect. We know that we don't deserve it. And we know that we didn't earn it. But because we are in Christ, we are worthy to be part of the family. We have new life, and we have a new identity as children of God. How does the world see us? What is your identity to the world? I was thinking about this earlier this week. I tried to put down everything that the world would probably think of me. So, to the world, and in the circles of social media, this is probably who much of the world think that I am. I am an evil, conservative, white American, Gen X, cisgender, straight, he, him. I'm sure there's some other ones that we could add. But that is not my identity. That is not who I am. Rather, I am a child of God. That's what defines me. That's who I am. Because of Christ and His work in my life, I am worthy to be part of the family of God. And my identity is as a child of God. And it is yours too. We are children of God. We are children of the One who set the stars in place. We are children of the One who came down and dwelled among us, who has brought us from darkness to light. And we can leave today thinking about some of those questions. Have you seen His glory? Do you know the light of life? Or have you been doing it your own way, in rebellion against your Maker? And I'll leave us with this. Perhaps it's time for you to repent to turn, put your faith in Jesus, and stand up and profess that faith to all the different people in your life. Tell them that you are a child of God. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for reminding us who Jesus is, that he is the one that the world was created through, that it was created through him and for him, and that because of his incredible light, we are worthy to be called children of God, not by our own works or actions, but because of his tremendous and awesome grace. Lord, we ask for help living into that each and every day, finding our identity not in the things of this world, but in your family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.